well known. It's the first part of the longest and I guess most famous sermon of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Today I want to talk about being happy. I'm talking about being happy today. And you know, we pursue happy like crazy. We want to be happy. And you know, one of the marks, as I've been kind of figuring it out, of how happy is kind of a baseline for us. You know, think about one of the things we say. It's not the only thing we say, but one of the things we say when somebody we love, somebody we know, is making a decision, not a life or death decision, not, you know, a serious life-altering decision in terms of, you know, just making a serious life-altering mistake. But they're kind of going a path, or they're making a decision, or they're doing a certain way in a relationship or a career move, or just kind of something they're doing which we don't really agree with and we do not think is healthy, but they're kind of committed to it. One, you know, one of our primary kind of default things we fall back to is what? Well, if that makes you happy, right? As long, you know, and we kind of, when we're talking to each other about this situation, goes, well, they seem happy. That somehow, that to me, I'm not saying that justifies any action. What I'm saying is that that's kind of how we think of, you know, if they're happy, then that's at least something. We chase after happy. We pursue happy. And here's one of the things I want you to know. Jesus is about happy. When we read Matthew 5, 3, we'll start 3, with the what known as the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, etc., etc. That same Greek word and its Hebrew relative can be true. They always get translated blessed, but some of the translations of the Bible are starting to say happy. It's a word that can also be translated happy. And you know, in church, we don't want to talk about happy. We want to talk about being blessed or having joy. Right? Because those are church words. And let me tell you something. Blessed and joy are fabulous church words. And when Jesus is talking about happy, he is not talking about merely superficial happy. He's talking about more the joy in Christ that we talk about, the contentment in Christ that we talk about, the peace and the optimism and the confidence, and that I came to that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It is more than happy, but it is not less than happy. I've been to a lot of churches in Charlotte. We're trying to find the right church in Charlotte. We know what a good church looks like. We're looking for one, all right? And, you know, we've gone to some traditional churches, and we've been to some fine churches, and we've been to some of the kind of new rock and roll cool churches. I love the new rock and roll cool churches. And every now and then, you know, and one of the problems with new rock and roll cool church, or one of the things, not, excuse me, not one of the problems, one of the things that kind of puts us on notice of the cool new rock and roll church is, boy, they talk about happy all the time. And I think every now and then it throws us off. Jesus Christ begins his sermon with, you're going to be happy when you do these things. And if you don't think it's okay to be happy as a Christian, I want to share with you something else that is not new rock and roll cool church. In your book of confessions, there's something called the Heidelberg Confession, which was written in 1563 by a bunch of German Calvinists. Okay? When the human beings say, I want to find happy, usually they don't go to 1563 in German Calvinists. They'd say, those guys will know the secret to happiness. But in the catechism writers, when I want happiness, I want to go to a catechism writer. The sixth question of the Heidelberg Catechism, written by a bunch of German Calvinists in 1563, says that one of the reasons that we seek God and belong to God is that we may live with God in eternal happiness with him. If the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism say it's okay for you to be happy in Jesus, it is okay for you to be happy in Jesus. It is okay for you to pursue happy. With so many things about Jesus, the issue is, what do you think is going to make you happy? And what are you going to get busy about to be happy? We love to talk about how busy we are, like it's an accomplishment. And I want to say this, working hard, that's an accomplishment. There is nothing easier in this life than being busy. Being busy is an incredibly easy thing to do. It takes up a lot of time, but it's an incredibly easy thing to do. Real biblical wisdom is taking the time to decide and remember and prioritize what matters most. One of the great things that this church is doing is on Sunday morning, there's a Bible school study going on where they're going through the whole Bible. And they are pounding their way through Deuteronomy right now. And it is delightful. Okay? Deuteronomy is underrated. And one of the things it talks about is wisdom and taking time to discern what matters and to remember what matters. That's the work. Now, when God shows you what matters and what is true joy and what is eternal, let's get busy about doing that. But doing the work of deciding and discerning and being wise and prioritizing and committing to it, that's what's impressive, not merely being busy. So that's what Jesus is after. See, what Jesus is after, he says, there may be some misunderstanding on how to be happy, and I'm going to start with, here's how you get happy. Now, when we think about what makes us happy, I would suggest that the word blessing, when he says, blessed, blessed are you when this happens, blessed are you when this happens, we say, okay, I like to count my blessings, count your blessings. There's nothing more church, there's nothing more Christian than saying, count your blessings, count your blessings, count your blessings. When we count our blessings, when we list our blessings, okay, let's talk about what that is. In general, when we do that, we list off the following things. Well, I like my people, I like my family, I like my friends, my health, my work, my stuff. I like this vacation, I like this food, I like that I have some time off. I like that I have health care, I like that I have the things that make us happy. When we talk about count your blessings, list your blessings, they will almost always be connected to happy. And that is great. And those are fine. And those are good. We probably would lump the things that make us happy into three categories. Stuff. Material possessions. Trips. Etc. Safety. You know what'll make me happy? Me and my people being okay. Having some health care. Being healthy. Stuff. Safe. And something that I would call control or freedom. What's going to make you happy? If I have the stuff I want, if I have the safety I want, if I have the control and freedom that I want. And by the way, those are fine things. But if you and I try to safe our way to happy and control freedom our way to happy and stuff our way to happy, we will not be happy. There is another word, which we're going to get to in just a minute, that's the key to happy from the biblical perspective. First thing I'd like to do is read what's going on in Matthew. And then we'll reference a couple of other things as we go along. Matthew 5, page 809 in the Pew Bible. I would suggest to you that when Jesus preaches these blesseds, blessed are you, happy are you when this happens, happy are you when this happens, he is at one level making an assault on what we think makes us happy. Or at the very least, he's saying, let's reorder and rethink what's going to make us happy. Because the stuff he lists does not really kind of fit in with our traditional, boy, it's going to make me happy. Blessed, verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when you're poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. We usually don't put those together. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are you when you are meek. And they will inherit the earth. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. We usually don't combine hunger and thirst with happy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. We really don't connect that with happy. Happy are you when you're persecuted. It is either an attack on what we think will make us happy or a rethinking. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That ends the reading of God's word for the morning. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, it is our great privilege to hear and read the word. We pray now that your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the recording of these words, we pray he would be in our hearts and minds and souls to teach us what the word has to say, and your Holy Spirit will enable us to live as the word teaches. We pray all these things. Focus us then not on our flesh, but upon your body and our place in it. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is fine with happy. As a matter of fact, Jesus announces in his first sermon, I've come for you to be happy. You know, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. Jesus' first miracle was keeping the party going in John 2. The dominant metaphor for heaven is the wedding feast of the Lamb, which is previewed in the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus, it's when he changes the water into wine, it's doing some other things too, talking about how he saves people, talking about how the blood of Jesus Christ is what makes you clean now. But another thing that's going on is Jesus is keeping the celebration going. God invented, you know, you enjoy your time off. God invented that. Put it in his top 10 things to do. You'll take a day off. You'll rest. Jesus hates sin because sin steals happy. Vengeance steals happy. Greed steals happy. Envy and jealousy steal happy. Blaming, scapegoating, feel good but steal happy. Chasing the world, we think it'll make us happy. It steals happy. Having to always win steals happy. Never being wrong steals happy. Withholding forgiveness steals happy. Jesus hates sin because sin steals happy. And I would suggest that we've kind of forgotten, or we need to be reminded, or being happy is a little harder than we think it is. Because we spend an awful lot of time and money on it. We spend a lot of effort on it. Or we know people who do. And it seems to be quite elusive. And I think it's just because we don't stop and look at what the Lord of heaven and earth, the maker of the human being, and the maker of creation says will make us happy. I don't know what you're watching. On what I'm watching, there are a series of commercials. There's a series of commercials, and one of them is my new favorite, and it is the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln Car commercial, because they are phenomenal, all right? Because here's what they do, and the one, it's a fine vehicle, by the way. I've ridden them, they're fine vehicles, all right? So the stunningly good-looking Matthew McConaughey is in this, you know, he's in this dressing room the size of where I'm standing with the 40 Armani suits and the 40 Armani shirt and the shoes and his watch, right? And he's waiting, his Lincoln SUV is sitting out there. And he's getting dressed and we get close-ups of the hair and then he walks through that house. God, it looks so cool. He gets in that car and there's that little pause before he presses the button. And then he presses the button and it all lights up. And there are no words spoken. And then it even says, Lincoln, the feeling stays with you. They must have shown that about 40 times during the World Series, all right? It's like, that's what I'm talking about. All right? If I have that, God, he looks happy. I'll be, why are we in debt? Why are we in debt? We are in debt every now and then for a good reason. the vast majority of the reasons why we are in debt beyond what we should be in debt is, I'm not happy. And if I buy that, eat that, go there, have that, look like that, goodness gracious, they look happy. Maybe if I have a bailout, I'll be happy. The word we're looking for is peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, and peace with that person in the mirror that I'm going to call integrity. Peace with God. That's why this sermon works out nicely for communion. Your peace with God, Romans 5:1, because we have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. What you're looking for is peace. Because Jesus Christ has borne your sins and reconciled you to God, you have peace with God. And now you can go about doing the great commandment. When they asked Jesus what the great commandment was, what are we built for? What are we designed for? Why in the world are we here? That you may have a relationship with God, and you shall love your neighbors, you love yourself, you shall have a relationship with everyone else. And you shall have a relationship with that person in the mirror. What I am looking for and what you are looking for is peace. Nobody, and bless him, bless the Lincoln Car Company, bless all of us for watching. No one is paying Matthew McConaughey to put on that suit and walk through that house and get in that car and press the button and turn to the camera and say, you know, what will really give you peace is peace with God and peace with your neighbor and peace with the person in the mirror. Now get in this car and let's get to church. Maybe we should. Nobody's paying anybody to do that. Because, for a variety of reasons, here's the reason that I'm going to focus on. Because it's too much work. And it costs us too much freedom. That's why we're not happy. Let me rephrase. I wouldn't talk about y'all. That's why I'm not happy when I'm not happy. It's too much work and costs too much freedom. And I think Jesus lays this out very nicely in the Beatitudes, in the blessed are you when. Okay? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Here's what poor in spirit means. It means to be, no matter how much money you got, that you know you're needy before God. That I know I'm a person in need. We cannot consume our way to happy. We cannot buy our way to happy. And I want to be very clear. I want to be very clear about two things. One is, if out of EBAY's, you know, the psychology department is going to say, we are going to scientifically test, does money make you happy? And, you know, as I, in my limited understanding of science, there's a control group. There's one group where we're going to give them the money and see if it makes them happy. Then we're going to have a control group that doesn't get money, see if they're going to get, you know, like, we're going to give one group the drug and we're going to give one group a placebo. We would all volunteer. It's like, I would love for you to test me to see if money would make me happy. I would love to be in that test group. Try me. Okay? I get that. And also, when you read, again, Deuteronomy and among other places, but all throughout the Bible, hey, people of God, hey, Christian, look after the poor. Find the needy. Find the stranger among you. Find the alien among you. Find the homeless, the fatherless. Find the hungry and the thirsty. Find the imprisoned, and you take care of them. You make sure they have enough. I think we would all agree that in general human experience, there is a base of financial type stuff that you need. You need some food. You need some clothing. You need some shelter. You need some water. You need some health care. You need some work to do. Do not want to minimize either end of that. What Jesus is saying is if you're trying to consume your way to happy, you will be unhappy. Because you will be a slave to more and new and the diminishing returns of stuff and the false promises of stuff. Jesus doesn't have a problem with stuff. Jesus has a problem with worldliness, and Jesus has a problem with chasing stuff to make you happy because it gets in the way of happy. And if we will take the time to learn that and change that and fight off our flesh in the world, which tells us no, we will be happier. Blessed are those who mourn. What does it mean to mourn? What it means to mourn is to invest in relationship in such a way that when it is gone, it hurts. That's what it means to mourn. And if you lock your heart away and you do not invest in relationships so that when it's gone, it hurts, you will never be happy. See, to be happy, to be blessed, to be joyful doesn't mean that you never have disappointment, loss, or hurt. You will have it plenty. Are we willing to risk the safety of hurting when it's gone? Are we willing to walk into death and face death? See, you can have peace when you can face death. You can have peace when you can face loss. And we live in a flesh and we live in a culture that just don't want to look at it. And when you have the ability to face death because Jesus Christ has overcome death, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and will give it to you, will give that hope to you, then you can be happy. And until then, we can't be. We can have fun, we can have pleasure, but we can't be happy until we're at peace with that.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are those who say, I know who I am, I know who I want to be, I know what my integrity demands. And I will say that when I have to give up to keep my integrity, I will not be losing out. I will be gaining. As a matter of fact, I'll be happy. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those. Here's a great phrase. Again, I've been doing some reading, doing some studying. I listen to people who are way smarter than I am. I'm just telling you what I've read and heard. The fact that I'm not smart enough to think it up myself doesn't mean that y'all should be cheated. It's one of the great phrases I've heard. To be relationally generous. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who enjoy being generous. Blessed are those who give better than they, who give other people better than they deserve, because we from Jesus Christ have received better than we deserve. We get the teaching of Jesus. Why do we trust? Why in the world do we trust the teaching of Jesus? Why in the world do we trust? This is the teaching of Jesus. Why in the world do we trust the teaching of Jesus? We trust the teaching of Jesus because Philippians 2, he did not conceive equality with God as something to be clung to, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, servant of you, servant of me, and died a death on a cross for you and me. We trust the teaching of Jesus because he has said, I'm for you guys. I'm for you. That's why we trust the teaching of Jesus. That's why when he says this weird stuff, that this is what's going to make you happy, we trust him because he says, I'm for you. I'm proving I'm for you. I'm providing your peace with God. And I'm showing you what the real life is. See, to be selfish is incredibly natural, but it's not what we're made for. To pour yourself out is what you're made for. That is what will make you happy. That is not what we are told. That is simply what Jesus says. To pour yourself out in forgiveness, to pour yourself out in service, to pour yourself out in generosity. Talk to the people you know who are full. They are pouring themselves out into other people. Every now and then, if we really look, we might say, goodness gracious, when I pour myself out, I feel full. Why is that? That's because that's how you were built. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He poured himself out. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to be. It's counterintuitive.
You look at the happy people you know. Some of them got money, some of them don't. All of them got pain. They are pouring themselves out. And they are true to the self that God made. I do want to pause for a little story. Because there's one that always gets skipped over. It's just so easy. Blessed, happy are you when you get persecuted. I hate it when preachers like me, who have such great lives, say, you're my persecution story. All right? So I will not tell you a religious persecution story. I will tell you one of the few times that I think I have any experience that might relate to unlocking this in the slightest. I was in seventh grade science. Miss Harrison's class, who is a lovely woman whom I love. And she left the room, said she's going to be gone a while to behave. All right. And she was good. So we got up, and I got up, and my three best friends got up. And pretty soon everybody got up. Y'all are going to love the story. She came back sooner than expected. And she came through that door. We were on our seats. And she goes, I can't believe it. You have embarrassed me. I can hear you all the way down the hall. And there was this roar. And then she said, I knew you were much of Europe, but I did hear one voice above all. I heard Will Dyke's voice. Stunning. I was just like, Will Dyke, I got you. You know that feeling of finishing stuff. I'm getting it right now. Will Dyke, I got you. Now, who else Will Dyke? There aren't many rules. There aren't many rules in the seventh grade. But here's one of the rules in the seventh grade. You do not rat out your friends. I couldn't say, Miss Harrison, I couldn't say, Will Dyke, I'm going to tell your mama. I know your mama. I know you know my mama. Miss Harrison, I'm talking about mama. You do not rat out your friends. I did not rat out my friends. Miss Harrison went old school. She pounded us all. Now, this is in the olden times. This is in the olden times when you got it at school, you got it at home. I knew that was coming, but here's where else you got it. You got it in class, you got it in sport. We were all playing basketball. Me and my three boys. We were all playing basketball. So the coach comes, and we knew this was coming. So the coach is really a football coach who was coaching basketball. I didn't play football. My three boys played football. And one of my three boys went and said, I'll go tell the coach. And he told him the whole story. And the coach came out and says, Guy, you need to run because you've got trouble in class. And I, you know, 7th grade Will Guy was not loaded with backbone. I hope I've heard the sound. 7th grade Will Guy was not loaded with backbone. 7th grade Will Guy was just trying to get by and stay out of trouble. Didn't do a very good job that day. I said to Coach, what about the other three? And Coach said, well, they said that you were the one who was called out by name. And since you were the only one called out by name, you're the one who's running. I said to myself, gosh, you play football. I hate running. I have run off and on at times for 51 years. And there is one time in my life where I didn't feel it at all, I didn't hurt at all, and I almost enjoyed it. And it was that day because I was burning righteous indignation for being something like persecuted for righteousness' sake. I am not pretending that I have any idea what the biblical understanding of being persecuted for righteousness' sake is. Here is what I know. Jesus says, when you have a way, and you are convinced it is the way that God wants you to go, and you get grief for it, it will create in you something approximating happy. And for one moment in my life, and I can existentially say, I believe that is correct. When you can have a relationship with the person in the mirror. Jesus wants to give you the power and strength to have real happy. It will cost you time, and it will cost you freedom, and it will cost you control, and it will cost you safe, and it will cost you stuff. And it will be real and deep, and what you've been looking for. Jesus Christ is not against your happy. Jesus Christ has come to give you the real happy that survives not only in this life, but into eternity. Come and drink. Come and eat. It is so good. It is not without pain. It is not without loss. It is what we've all been looking for. Blessed are you when you chase this. Blessed are you when you get busy after this. When you settle your peace with God through Jesus Christ. When you love and serve and forgive. And when you live committed to being able to look yourself in the mirror and God in the face. He came to forgive your failures and empower your success and complete you. And that makes him worth a Savior worth following. That's the offer.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where, if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But if because of your grace working alone, there may be some truth in the preaching, let that truth be burned in our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.